Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. Civilization was built by the sea. An examination of world history argues that the globe was parsed by ocean exploration and exchange. Ships were the tools of discovery, settlement, conflict, and acculturation. And every nation or city-state in every period of time had its opening to the sea as its opening to the world. As we say often on World Ocean Radio, the sea connects all things. The 20th century version of the seaport reveals an accumulation of functions that at the time were best placed on the waterfront, then available without limit, or easily expanded by filled wetlands and new hard edges that created viable, valuable land for necessary purposes. The most obvious demand was for the workings of the port itself, space for landing and storing cargoes for intermediary time and place for further distribution as import or export value. Trade was the prime mover of nation building, and the ports of New York, London, Hamburg, and Hong Kong were among the most active 19th century examples. Those forces drove the locus of banks and exchanges, corporate headquarters and manufacturing centers, insurance companies, and all the associated vocations and endeavors required to sustain commercial enterprise at such great scale. As these cities grew, however, new demands emerged with equally impactful consequences for waterfronts. There were established the new functions of urbanism: water and sewage treatment plants, power generators, oil tanks, and grain storage silos, and thereafter the necessary transportation infrastructure, trains and highways, tunnels and bridges, and other built things that condemned more marsh to fill, more edge to expand into rivers and harbors, to feed an exploding appetite for enterprise and its rewards. The 20th century rise of the World Trade Center in New York, indeed the historical making of most of Lower Manhattan, is a function of this process. Streams and ponds disappeared, farms given way to tenements, then towers, built and rebuilt on land that once was water, as both symbol and reality of unimagined economic expanse. The consequences of this cultural and physical record is known, glorified or regretted depending on your perspective. But it is fair to say that this industrial function has left its mark on waterfronts, and that urban planners and city dwellers have been grappling ever since with the consequences and their alternatives. So what might the 21st century waterfront look like? It will, of course, reveal the requirements of change values in new technologies. Some waterfronts will still require vast areas for the import-export of vehicles and large objects, containers, fuels, and chemicals to and from the world. Some will retain that function at a lesser scale, serving more coastwise delivery than international trade. The functions requiring access to significant volumes of water for treatment or cooling, desalination plants or nuclear generators, for example, will stay, albeit in different well-fortified structures, presumably safer, more productive, efficient, and economical. Some functions, like waste disposal or sewage treatment, might be differently enabled through improved technology located elsewhere, inland, and accessed better by train or pipeline. Many things and the residue of many processes previously disposed of in the ocean might find a different place for processing and recycling. Warehouses may be converted to housing. Manufacturing plants may be reclaimed or reprogrammed to different needs and systems. Edges may be reclaimed for recreational uses. In fact, much of this is already evident in many cities, New York among them, where Manhattan is soon to be ringed entirely by open space, walking and cycling trails, and Brooklyn has a new waterfront park that replaces dilapidated piers and warehouses with wonderful new public access to the harbor. And that, presently designed, escapes serious inundation and destruction by Superstorm Sandy. But what else should we be thinking for the waterfront? What that will benefit the future welfare and health of urban populations? Desalination and geothermal energy options will certainly figure in our emerging need for fresh water and power. They demand enormous water access from somewhere, either outside the immediate city and linked to the distribution systems, or inside the city in scale heretofore impossible by the limits of the technology in hand. Will we grow our food using urban aquaculture? Will we expand our housing through floating structures accessible to the cultural amenities already extant in the city? Will we augment our underground transportation system, already taxed and vulnerable to sea level rise, with waterborne local transit, commuter lines, and delivery routes? Will we make a concerted effort to remove all waterfront functions not requiring water access to inland places serving regional requirements? Will we design our cities around this premise, made real and practical? How will we make the waterfront work for us anew as a necessary and fulfilling reality in the future? We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory. Visit us online at worldoceanobservatory.org. World Ocean Radio is produced in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.